Okay, Holly Friesen is here this morning, one of our missionaries serving in Ukraine. You just got here like last night, yesterday. So she's going to share however long or short that she has prepared and that God would have her share with us this morning. And so we're really thankful Holly's here, and I'll hand it over. Yes, it's right here.
Is that better? There we go. All right. So we do still have frequent air raid warnings. For the most part, life goes on as usual. People go about their work. When the air raid warnings come on, usually check our phones to see what's happening. Sometimes it's just planes that have gone up in the air that could shoot off the long-range missiles, and so we're just on alert in case they decide to shoot something. Sometimes you look at the alerts and you see that something is actually flying. Sometimes not sure yet where. And then eventually you get the warning if it is actually coming towards Odessa, and there's an extra sound that comes across on the air alert, the higher alert, there's things flying towards your city. And that doesn't happen every day. The air alerts are almost every day, but not every day that actually things are flying towards us. And so we do have the occasional waking up at night with explosions. Thankfully, usually they're aiming at something strategic, so they're the port or a military base, or lately they've been hitting energy infrastructure, so we've been having issues with electricity. Been doing rolling blackouts, so they try to give everyone electricity for a certain amount of time, but they have a shortage because of the damage done and trying to do repairs. So for the last couple of weeks, we generally have no electricity for 6 hours, and then we'll have it for about three, and then it'll be off again for another 6 hours. They've been trying to publish a schedule. Initially, the schedule wasn't working at all. The last several days before I left, it was working according to schedule. That helps when you can kind of plan when you're going to have electricity, especially since my apartment's all electric stove. So I probably, when I go back, I'm going to get myself a camp stove so I can at least heat some water when the electricity's off. So that's just a little bit about, besides what we deal with the air raid warnings. Also, pretty much everyone I know has a friend or family member who's fighting. I have a long list of soldiers that I pray for, that I know personally, or I personally know their family members, so that it is also a part of the reality of our daily lives as well. But in spite of the difficulties, we're seeing how God is really working and using the situations to draw people to himself. And probably the most exciting example is my church. And so I'll just share with you a little bit about my church. I put together a few pictures. We actually now have two locations. When the war started, they started doing outreaches, having a daily prayer service and handing out aid. And through that, more and more people were coming. They eventually had to look for a bigger facility. But when they found a bigger facility, it was a fair distance away from the place where they had started the church. But it was in an area where some of the people had already been coming for their outreaches. So they decided that maybe this was a sign they just needed to rent both buildings and start doing outreaches in both places. And so about a year and a half ago, they started doing Sunday services in both places. So we now have, we still have one leadership team that kind of organizes it all, but we have two churches, two Sunday morning services. We have Bible studies in both places. Still continuing to do the outreaches once a week in each location, where they have an evangelistic service in the morning and pray for Ukraine. And usually, sometimes we have food packets that we can hand out to people who've been able to sign up ahead of time. They have a way to sign up if you need a food packet. Sometimes they've been able to do hot meals. Sometimes they just hand out a loaf of bread. It's amazing to me sometimes the number of people that will gather just to get a free loaf of bread. But through these services, obviously we know that a lot of people come just because they know the church is helping people to see what they can get. But through these outreaches, we've been able to build a lot of relationships and see people come to Christ or start regularly attending services. So each location has an evening Bible study one evening a week, and then there's also an opportunity for another seminar that some of our deacons do in each of the locations each week, and that's where we see the people come that genuinely have shown an interest in learning more about the Bible or who have made a profession of faith. And so it's exciting to see. We also have been doing every other Monday a women's Bible study, and I had started a women's Bible study before the war. We were doing it once a month, and after some of the ladies that had stayed had expressed that we want to do that again, and so they started meeting again. And it's been neat to see other ladies step up. We now have it in both locations. Initially, we were doing it all together in one location, but by the end of last summer, we were having around 30 women at a time, and so we decided it was time to split up and do it in both locations. And so it's been encouraging to see other ladies in our church also step up to lead, and it's a challenging because we're doing a Bible study, but usually about half of the women have not yet accepted Christ. So always trying to provide some spiritual food for those who are believers, and another invitation to accept Christ for those who are not. But it's been neat to see some of the women. They'll come to the prayer services, and they come to our ladies' Bible study, and they've done that for a long time. And they have not yet started coming to any of the other services, but we have three of the ladies that had come to our Bible studies that are now preparing for baptism. And the one, it's been so exciting to hear her share her testimony, just watch the transformation in her life. She was a teacher and said she was an atheist most of her life, but God just touched her heart, and she started coming to the services, and I said initially came pretty skeptical, but thought she would at least listen and hear what they had to say. And she said just more and more was impressed with the truth of what you were teaching. And she said the other day at one of our Bible studies, she shared, she said, I started reading my Bible because I knew I was supposed to, but it was really hard for me to do. But the last few weeks, I've started to understand, and I just love reading it. And so it's just exciting to see the Holy Spirit at work in her heart. Also, we started this year discipleship groups. These are three of the ladies I'm working with. One of my ladies was in the hospital when we took this picture. Last year, I went through a book with some of a couple of our pastor's wives and two other ladies about leading small group discipleship groups. So we met throughout the year and prepared. And then in January, we all split up and formed groups of our own. We made it, just opened it up to any of the ladies in the church who wanted to be a part of a group. And when we had several of our grandmothers sign up, they decided that Holly gets to do the grandmothers. So it's been a new experience for me. I've done discipleship before and was pretty confident that I can do this, and they've been a new challenge for me, but it's also been exciting to see God at work in their lives. We had one of the ladies discovered when we started the discipleship group that she only had a New Testament. And in the course of all, she'd been baptized about a year earlier, but somehow we had missed, she didn't have a whole Bible. And so we got her a whole Bible, and she started reading the Old Testament. And she came to our discipleship group, and she said, Holly, I have a question. Where did God come from? And so we started talking about the fact that he's eternal, and that it's kind of hard for our minds to comprehend how he could have no beginning. And one of the other ladies said, yeah, it's easier to understand about Jesus because he was born, and we could see that. And so then I said, well, actually, Jesus was also here before the foundation of the world, and started explaining, just see that the light come on their eyes. It's so exciting to see God at work and to see them learning and growing. And so you could pray for all of our discipleship groups, for the ladies, the other ladies who are leading for the first time. And in November of last year, we ordained another pastor and two deacons. We'd had one pastor who had been there initially at the start of the church, and then the second man that we ordained as pastor had been a deacon all throughout that time, and they ordained him as a second pastor and two more deacons. So you can pray for these leaders. One of the realities that we also live with is they've passed a new mobilization law. They're getting stricter about everyone needing to register at the draft office, and no exceptions or exemptions for pastors or church leaders. So concern that some of our leadership may end up being drafted. If you have three children or more, you're exempted, and are our second pastor that was ordained, his wife is due in July with their third child, so we're grateful for that. But the other, our two deacons, we're praying that the Lord will provide, and our youth leader as well, a way for them to be able to continue serving in our church. I'm involved in pro-life ministry. For those of you who maybe haven't heard about my ministry before, we have a pregnancy care center where we help women with crisis pregnancies. We don't provide medical care, but we provide counseling and humanitarian aid and classes. This is a picture just last week when we were able to go out on a walking boulevard not far from our center and hand out balloons and talk and flyers for our center. It was International Protect the Children Day, so we used the opportunity to talk about the need to protect the unborn as well and to do some advertising for our center, and it was well received. We're grateful for our volunteers. Our center was opened in 2014. At one point, we had around 40 people that were involved in volunteering for the ministry. Currently, we probably have around 20 because a lot of them have left the country. But and of those, that doesn't mean that 20 people are there every week. Some of them can only come maybe once a month, or we have one counselor that can only work by phone because she lives on the other side of the city. But we're grateful for all of our volunteers, especially those that have continued faithfully serving now. When the war first started, we were practically closed for a period of time. We would open up a couple times a month to hand out aid to the clients that we had been working with, but over this last year, we've been able to resume full functioning again and offer all of our services. And the majority of the new clients that are coming to us now are displaced by the war. We do have a few other locals that come in. Obviously, now pregnancies can be even more of a crisis than maybe they were before, just because of lack of work or a husband going off to fight or being displaced. The ones that are displaced are often trying to rent, find work. There's a little bit of help from the government, but not enough. And so a pregnancy at this point in their life is an added difficulty. So we're able to come alongside and help with diapers and food products and clothing. And sometimes we're able to provide a stroller or a bed for them if they need it. And also we do courses for them. We have a childbirth preparation course. We have a parenting course that they go through one-on-one with a counselor. And then if they're interested, we eventually will also go through a Bible study course with them. I'm currently working with a client that I shared in my last prayer letter, if you read about her, that has had a very difficult past. But she's agreed to study the Bible with us, and I've gotten to the point now where we're talking about Christ's crucifixion, and she seemed very touched by the story, and I asked her, what do you think this means to you? And she's like, well, I think I need to try not to sin and to do better. Like, well, so just praying that the Lord will open her heart and mind and give her understanding to the truth of the gospel. We have also been able to resume. We had been doing abstinence teaching for young people before the war started, but all my teachers had left the country, and we were praying about what to do about that. And in the fall, we trained a new group of volunteers for our ministry, and there were several ladies that were interested in helping us resume the teaching ministry, so we were able to work with them, and this spring taught for the first time to a group of young people, and Lord willing, we'll have some more opportunities this summer to do some teaching, so I'm grateful for the new team that the Lord has provided and really excited about the gifts and talents they bring to the table to help continue developing that ministry. Also continuing our post-abortion healing ministry, our director of that ministry was left Ukraine briefly at the beginning of the war, but then she's came back, and so they've been continuing to do groups in the spring and fall. In fact, they just had a group that just finished up yesterday, and it's neat to see how the Lord is using that as well to help women find freedom and understand God's forgiveness for them if they've had abortions in their past. I've also been working with the Ukrainian Christian Medical Association. I used to do clinics out in the village areas on my own or with my missionary colleague. And when we had a relationship with the Ukrainian Christian Medical Association and the Odessa group where I live, they would sometimes do outreaches, especially in the summer once or twice they would gather some Ukrainian doctors and go do an outreach somewhere. But when the war started, they saw the need and started traveling more regularly. Currently, they're going out two Saturdays a month, usually. Occasionally, there have been a few longer trips as well. But just local Ukrainian Christian doctors who want to serve people. And so we're usually able to go out with one or two general practitioners and then a few specialists. They have a sonogram machine they're able to take with them and do some sonograms and do cardiograms. And it's been a joy to travel and work with these doctors. And it's also been neat. They were going out and sometimes connecting with churches. Sometimes we're actually in the local clinic or invited to go in there. And to be able to come alongside and encourage them in the evangelistic side of it. They make it very clear that they're the Christian Medical Association, but when I arrived, they weren't actively handing out literature or making sure the gospel is presented. So I was able to talk to the leadership, and they've now make sure that each time we go out, there's someone who's appointed as the evangelist and that we're at least handing out literature to those who are interested and connecting more with churches. We still do sometimes see people in the local clinics, depends on the situation in the village they're in, but also doing what we can to find churches to come alongside with our clinics. And usually now we're traveling to the regions south and east of Odessa that were occupied at the beginning of the war, or were right along the front lines of the war at the beginning. The front lines have now moved across the river, so the places we go to sometimes still come under fire, but for the most part, they're much safer than they were. But most of the villages we go to have had a lot of damage, a lot of people that left, and some maybe came back, but also a lack of medical care because a lot of the doctors that were in the area left, and it's harder for them to get to the regional centers. Some of them, the regional hospital where they would go to is even closer to the front lines, and they're afraid to go, so a lot of them just delay getting care because of the situation. So we're able to come alongside and assist with the real medical needs, but also share with them the love of Christ. And the Christian Medical Association, the most active group in mobile clinics is in the Odessa area, but I also have interacted quite a bit with the nationwide leadership, and they're wanting to start more mobile clinics in other areas of Ukraine, so possibly I'll be involved somewhat in helping to encourage and help with the organization of clinics in other areas. This is our missionary team. There's another family with me in Odessa, the Sukos family, and then we have another family in Kyiv and another gal. There's another couple that had been serving in Kyiv that have been out. They were on furlough when the war started, and they have a little toddler. They hadn't gone back yet, but they are planning to move back to Ukraine this summer. And so you could also pray for our team. One of the things that we do together, we all have very a variety of different ministries, but we've been managing the Ukraine Crisis Fund, which was actually started back in 2014 when the separatist movement and the Russians first took Crimea and part of eastern Ukraine. And then it became even more active in 2022 with people wanting to donate and help to Ukraine. So we help manage that and are able to channel funds to those providing aid closer to the front lines, to churches, providing aid to people, sometimes assisting chaplains who are involved in sharing the gospel within the military. So just some of the projects that the Crisis Fund has been able to help with. And one of the things that we together do as a team is managing that. So I don't know if you have any questions. It's kind of a quick overview of what I'm involved in and some of the things the Lord is doing. I've definitely seen, as I said, I felt confident when I went back that this was what I was supposed to do, and the Lord has just confirmed it over and over as he's given opportunities to share the gospel and disciple and to be a part of what he's doing in his church and in our center. All right. Yeah, I actually learned Russian. Odessa has been a Russian-speaking city. Now with the war, a lot of Ukrainians that lived in Russian-speaking areas don't want to speak Russian anymore, so they're moving to Ukrainian. My city has been a little more slow in that transition, but I have started learning Ukrainian as well. I understand it pretty well. I'm still not very good at speaking it, but I'm working on learning Ukrainian. But at this point, all the teaching that I do is in Russian. Most of it we buy, like the diapers and food products that we give out, we buy locally. The clothing that we give, again, most is donated by people locally. We occasionally have had things sent from the States if they're things that are harder to get basically things that are harder to get there. Sometimes we've had shipped from the States. The center is basically the financing for the most part comes from the States. We visit churches and we share about our ministry there in Ukraine. We usually have a display table that we set up and we have a donation box. And before the war, we were getting more and more donations. Now it's become much harder again. So we're back to most of the financing coming from the States, but, through my contacts and, my colleague, Dr. Miriam, who was there initially when we started the ministry, she's back in the States now, but through some of her contacts as well, we've raised funds for the pro-life ministry. All right. Yeah, it's not as political. Abortion is completely legal up to 12 weeks for any reason, and then up to 22 weeks for medical reasons. If a doctor wants to do it, they can usually find some reason. But it's been legal. It was legal all throughout the Soviet Union way back. It has a long history of being a part of Ukrainian culture. So it has not been the battle of politically, of people trying to get it legalized or make it illegal. But it also means that it's has been, even back during Soviet days, they didn't keep statistics very well, but they say, just from talking with people, they estimate that the average woman had 7 abortions. They used it for birth control. Now, there's actually less abortions than there used to be. Primarily, I think, due to the availability of contraception, not necessarily a change in attitude toward abortion. However, the Lord provided an amazing opportunity for us in December. There are people now that are concerned about the declining population in Ukraine. It was declining before the war, and now it's drastically declining because of people leaving the country. And so a local politician who's also a believer decided to do a gathering of local gynecologists, who are the ones who do the abortions, and talk to them about the need to increase the birth rate and the problem of declining birth rate in Ukraine. And he had invited the representative for the Christian Medical Association, and she told him, well, you need to invite the Women's Center. They work with women with crisis pregnancies. So through her, we got an invitation as well. We weren't one of the speakers, but we listened to all the speakers, and then at the end, they had a question and answer time. And one of the OBGYNs stood up and she said, we love it when babies are born. We always try to encourage our patients, but what do we do if, and she starts listing all the difficulties that women face now. She's been displaced and it's her third child and her husband doesn't have work and she wants to have an abortion. And the director of our center stood up and said, I have an answer for that. And she was able to explain what our center does to help women. And a number of the OBGYNs took our information and we've had quite a few referrals already from several of them. So you can pray about that. We want to build on that. In July, there's a National OBGYN Day, so we're planning to get some pins and other small gifts to take to them and go visit the OBGYN offices and remind them of what we have to offer to help. So that was a huge breakthrough, because when we first opened the center, we tried to visit some of the offices in our area and were basically told to leave. So because it's part of, they actually make money off the abortions. Probably the most common abortions now are what they call the chemical abortions, where they give them pills to induce miscarriage. And those pills are only available through the OBGYN offices, and they buy them there. And so it is a way for the OBGYNs to make some extra money. So that the Lord will work in their hearts and motivate them to find other ways to make their money. Right. Well, I'll be happy to answer more questions after the service. I very much appreciate your support and prayers and encouragement. I generally like to share a little something the Lord's been teaching me, and I was thinking yesterday and this morning, what should I share? And the thing that probably the last several months has been on my mind a lot, sometimes it's hard when the evil goes on, and you want so desperately for it to stop. And in March, if you follow my letters, there was a drone that hit a building actually not too far from where I live, and one of my friend's sisters and her baby son were killed. And shortly before that, in a conference that I had been at, they'd been sharing about the story of Lazarus, and there were several points that they drew from that. But the thing that really stuck out to me was that when Jesus was going, when he talked to Mary and Martha, and when he wept, he knew that he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He could have just said, "Don't cry, I'm going to fix this," and just come in. But he wept with them, and he sat with them in their pain, knowing that just in a few minutes, he was going to make it all right. And that was a real comfort to me. I know God is in control, and we will win. And one day he will reign, and all the evil will be taken care of. And in God's mind, it's just a few more minutes. He knows that what to me maybe seems like a really long time, to him is just a few more minutes, and he's going to fix all of this. But in the meantime, he also weeps with us, and he cares about the pain. And he is at work. And so that's what has been really encouraging to me in the last few weeks.